This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Tom Swarbrick.
Very good evening to you. 3 minutes past 11 is the time. Wednesday, the 31st of October. You're listening to Late Nights with Tom Swarbrick on LBC. And nope, I still don't understand what Lawrence was saying. Nadia, you might have understood what Lawrence was saying. And yes, I'd like you to explain it to me if you could, because I still don't know what he was on about. We'll turn in the last hour of this programme after midnight to this issue at Waitrose, their magazine, and their editor, William Sitwell, who has resigned, or more accurately, I think, probably been asked to resign, following his email to a freelance journalist in which he basically said, joked, I would suggest, that they could write an article about killing vegans. He's now lost his job. We'll come on to the rights and wrongs of that a bit later on. But I want to turn to this story about teachers, which you may have heard on LBC a little earlier, that 11 teachers at this school in Edinburgh have been sent home without pay after refusing to teach pupils that they claim are violent and abusive. A union has accused the City Council of bullying and intimidating staff at Kames School in Liberton, a school for children with additional support needs. 11 teachers have refused to give lessons to 8 pupils following physical and verbal assaults. The council said it was wrong for staff to pick and choose who to teach. A source said they refused to teach them, the children, because they had been assaulted so many times. There's just no control. The 8 students are understood to have spent last week in a class together with 7 pupil support assistants. This is the first time this has ever happened in Scotland. A teacher has refused to teach 1 kid before, but never 8, the source said. The assistants with the 8 kids last week were just trying to keep them apart and stop them fighting. They were just running around the school swearing, "It was chaos." Does sound like chaos. The council, however, insisted action was being taken to support staff at the school and said it was not acceptable for teachers to refuse to teach certain individuals. I have to say, I think it probably is, isn't it? I come from a family of teachers. My dad was a teacher, my mum was a teacher, my wife's a teacher. And particularly in my wife's experience, when she first started out at schools, she worked at a school that had quite a number of difficulties with certain children. And certain children were very, very, very difficult to teach because they were quite violent. And some of them came from actually very violent homes, which made them difficult to teach for other reasons. But some of the pupils were hugely unruly and quite violent and would get violent towards teachers. And I think a teacher is absolutely within their rights to say, I don't want to be assaulted at work. I don't want to be punched or kicked or spat at. After a while, it doesn't matter really that the child has difficulties or special educational needs. The school has got to protect the people that work in it. And if a teacher is being spat, punched, kicked, had their hair pulled, whatever it might be, by a pupil, that teacher is absolutely within their rights to withdraw from teaching them, aren't they? There was a story not so long ago about the number of pupils that were being evicted from school, expelled from school completely, and issues around how those children were going to get education, how they were going to be taught now that they're not being taught in schools anymore and having to come out of them. And I understand, I completely get that if you've had a child expelled for poor behaviour, getting them into a school again is very difficult. Even more so if a teacher is withdrawing their services, withdrawing their teaching on the basis of your child's poor behaviour. But what is a teacher meant to do? What are they meant to do? After a while, if it becomes clear that the children are so unruly and so difficult to teach that actually it's not in a teacher's safety, personal safety, to be in the classroom with them, let alone one teacher, 11 of them, saying, "Downing tools, not going to teach these kids," then fair enough. 0345 6060 973. Or do you come from a background of having kids that do have educational difficulties, partly because of special education needs, and you think it is ridiculous that these teachers would withdraw their labour, because what about the next teacher and the teacher after that? And your child is not going to be able to get any education if every teacher says, "Whoa, I can't possibly deal with this child." 0345 6060 973. 7 minutes past 11 is the time. Let's speak to Mandy Owlak, who is an employment and special educational needs lawyer at Talem Law and the parent of, I gather, Mandy, a 6-year-old who has autism. Thank you for your time tonight.
Hello, Tom. Hi.
What do you make, firstly, of the teachers who have downed tools?
Right. Well, I mean, I guess this is quite interesting for me because I'm both an employment lawyer and an SEN lawyer.
Yes.
And I mean, essentially, this is an employment dispute. But I think that the real gripe of the teachers in this particular scenario, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's actually because the local authority have failed to put in place the correct infrastructure, to, i.e. the provision to that these children require. And that's the real issue. Those children do have a right to be educated. And I think it's a very dangerous and slippery slope if teachers are allowed to say who they will and won't teach. And this is a school, remember, that is a special school. So children who, by definition, go to that school generally tend to be children who either the parents is a parental preference to send them to a special school, or because they do have challenging behaviour, which means they can't be educated in mainstream. So one would expect that the teachers who are teaching in that environment would be equipped with the skills to be able to deal with those difficult situations.
So let's not get into the specifics of this because we don't know it, but for argument's sake,
yeah.
Any teacher who decides, who refuses to teach a child on the basis that that child is violent or aggressive or too unruly, that teacher has actually failed because they should have the support around them to be able to deal with it and the training in order to calm the whole thing down.
Well, this is the point. I mean, I'm not talking specifically about this case, but generally speaking, children like my son, for example, has an education healthcare plan which details his needs and the special educational provision that is required to meet those needs. Now, if that provision is not specified, and I have seen a trend of this in our practice where in special schools there seems to be a view that they are special schools so they can cope with children who have any sort of SEN.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that those schools do not, just because they're called special schools, do not have that infrastructure in place. And if they don't have, if children do not have, you know, for example, speech and language therapy or mm-hmm. occupational therapy, but then their needs are not going to be met.
Yes, but
challenging behaviour.
Mandy, I agree with that, but that's not the teacher's fault. That's the school's fault.
Well, that's my point. It's not even the school. It's a local authority who are responsible.
But the teachers have to be within their rights to say, after a certain point, this is so violent and so dangerous and against their personal safety that they've got a right to say, I can't do this.
Well, the point I'm saying is that their issue is fundamentally that the local authority have not put the infrastructure and the provision in place. But, of course, the real victims here are the children because they do have a right to be educated. You know, what's going to happen to them?
Absolutely they do. But they, of course they do. Every child has the right to be educated, but they have the teacher has the right not to be punched, spat.
But then where do you draw the line? Because, you know, that one sensitivity, as you know, one teacher may be particularly sensitive, but to an objective bystander, they might say, well, you actually should have the skills to be able to deal with that. And actually, you know, a reasonable person with your skills would have known how to handle that. It becomes a very dangerous slope. But if teachers were supported and had, you know, interventions that the child needs, such as speech and language or sensory processing, then those needs would be met. Because challenging behaviour only generally comes about, not exclusively, but usually because there's a communication difficulty or an emotional dysregulation. And what you need in place is the therapies and intervention to be able to overcome those difficulties.
And that is absolutely understandable and completely fine, and those schools that cater for people who have those needs should have those in place. But where they're failing or they're not working, I would still argue that even though it might lead you down a slippery slope because one teacher's view of violent or insulting behaviour is not the same as another teacher's, but ultimately, yes, a child has a right to be educated, but a teacher has a right to be safe at work.
I don't disagree with you there, but I think that, I mean, and I'm not going to talk about the specifics of this
no,
case.
No, sure, I understand.
But I do think it does boil down to there not being the correct infrastructure. I mean, teachers do have a very difficult
job. So what, in your
job.
Mind then, what would a teacher do in those circumstances? Would they plough on regardless, keep trying to teach, keep trying to do what the child has a right to do, which is to learn, regardless of the pressure on their own personal safety?
Well, I guess it's incumbent on the teachers to raise that. And I guess it's probably needs to be a bit more awareness as well. I think a lot of parents don't realise who are putting their children into these schools, that actually because they are special schools doesn't mean that they necessarily have the tools and the infrastructure to meet those children's needs. It's that that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
Only parents can address that through the reviews. And actually that is an opportunity when the teachers can actually pipe up. And obviously the system in Scotland is slightly different here, mm-hmm. but that's an opportunity where everyone working with the child can actually sit down and say what needs to be put in place.
Would you agree, Mandy, then, that whilst a child has a right to be educated, do you think that permanent exclusions from school are right on the grounds of violent behaviour or insulting behaviour or whatever it might be?
I don't, because I don't think that's the answer. What needs to be put in place
at all,
is the intervention.
Ever?
I don't think that's right, because I can only speak. I've got a 6-year-old who, you might say, what can a 6-year-old do? He did used to have quite challenging behaviour because he was not, his communication needs and mm-hmm. sensory integration, he needed sensory integration essentially. He was a sensory seeker. By actually getting those therapies and intervention, it has made a huge difference to his behaviour.
That's fantastic. I'm delighted that that is the case and that those provisions are there. But I think a lot of people will find it a difficult argument to take that under absolutely no circumstances should any child be permanently excluded from a school.
Well, but I think that's... But if you do that, then I just think that... we already hear about so many exclusions from school. That's not the answer. What the root cause of it needs to be addressed. And that's the only way I think it's going to happen is actually by getting the infrastructure in place.
Mandy, I'm really grateful for your time. Thank you. Mandy Orlach, you're an employment and special educational needs lawyer at Talem Law and, as you heard, a parent of a 6-year-old with autism. I wonder what you make of that issue about exclusion, because there was a report the other day about the number of kids being permanently excluded from school going up. And I have to say, I disagree totally with Mandy. I think whilst a child has a right to be educated, absolutely the school has the right to say, well, not in this environment. If for whatever reason, be it that they have special educational needs that can't be dealt with in that particular school, or they're just an absolute... and they need to be kicked out of the school because they're unruly and they're creating problems for the teachers and the other kids around them. You can't say that permanently excluding a kid from school should be banned. You exclude exclusions. That can't happen because other kids have a right to be educated in an environment where they're not fearing for their own physical safety, as do teachers. 0345 6060973, particularly interested to hear from you if you've taught in a school and you encounter this kind of level of violence, or indeed whether you've been excluded from school, you've been expelled from school, and you actually look back at that time and you think, do you know what, they were probably right to do it because I was a complete that didn't deserve to be in the classroom, that didn't deserve to get that education, and actually your right to an education at that school was not greater than the right of the other kids at that school, and indeed the teachers, to have their education done safely and well. 0345 6060 973. We'll take more of your calls after this in a minute. The time now, 11:16.